Ruth Crawford Seeger was a prominent member of the American avant-garde in the 1920s and 30s. Born in 1901, she studied piano in Chicago until 1929, until she moved to New York and studied with Charles Seeger, whom she later married. Her early works were influenced by Scriabin, with whom her piano teacher had studied. Charles Seeger was an idea man about music and influenced her to negate tonal organization, to allow greater importance for non-pitch parameters in music. And so, employing Seeger's principles, Crawford actually did the composing of his ideas and elevated the importance of rhythm, dynamics, accent, and timbre, and enacted a role reversal between consonants and dissonance. And these were really innovative things to do. Crawford, though, took a long hiatus from composing between 1933 and around 1950, both in order to raise the four children that she and Charles Seeger had. And by the way, Pete Seeger, the wonderful folk singer, was her stepson, Charles's son by a previous marriage. And she also took this hiatus in order to pursue her interest in researching folk music. She transcribed field recordings of American folk songs from the archives of the Library of Congress and published many of the songs. And this was really an extensive undertaking, and she was quite well known for it. In 1948, Edgar Varèse asked Crawford to tell him her compositional credo. And this is what she wrote him. "I could mention a few points about which I felt strongly, and I still feel strongly about them. I believe when I write more music, these elements will be there, or at least striven for. Clarity of melodic line, avoidance of rhythmic stickiness, rhythmic independence between parts, feeling of tonal and rhythmic center, and experimentation with various means of obtaining at the same time organic unity and various sorts of dissonance." So that's what really interested her in writing. Ruth Crawford Seeger was the first woman to ever win a Guggenheim. It enabled her to study in Europe for a year, and she was exposed to the music of Berg and others, which contributed to her development. She also hung out with those European composers quite a bit. She was a close friend of the poet Carl Sandburg, who wrote the poems for the three songs for contralto, oboe, piano, and percussion, which we are about to hear. This is one of Crawford's most innovative works and employs experimental techniques that only decades later became widely used. These songs were written around 1930 and 32. In addition to continued use of dissonant counterpoint and palindromic structures that govern the rhythm and dynamics, Crawford made use of Sprechstimme, sort of talking, singing for the declamatory vocal line, and tone clusters in the piano part, and exceptional independence among the four concertani performers. Yet she created an expressive musical whole consistent with these wonderful Sandburg poems, which I'm going to read you in a second. We'll hear a performance with Nan Hughes, mezzo-soprano, Marcia Heller, oboe, Eric Charleston, percussion, and Cheryl Seltzer, piano. And I'll read you these three poems by Carl Sandburg. Rat Riddles. There was a gray rat looked at me with green eyes out of a rat hole. "Hello, rat," I said. "Is there any chance for me to get in on the language of the rats?" And the green eyes blinked at me, blinked from a gray rat's rat hole. "Come again," I said. "Slip me a couple of riddles. There must be riddles among the rats." And the green eyes blinked at me, and whisper came from the gray rat hole. "Why do you think you are, and why is a rat? Where do you sleep last night, and why do you sneeze on Tuesdays? And why is the grave of a rat no deeper than the grave of a man?" And the tail of the green-eyed rat whipped and was gone at a gray rattle. Prayers of Steel. Lay me on an anvil, O God, beat me and hammer me into a crowbar. Let me pry loose old walls. Let me lift and loosen old foundations. Lay me on an anvil, God, beat me and hammer me into a steel spike. Drive me into the girders that hold a skyscraper together. Take red-hot rivets and fasten me into the central girders. Let me be the great nail holding a skyscraper through blue nights and into white stars. In Tall Grass. Bees and a honeycomb in the dried head of a horse in a pasture corner. A skull in the tall grass and a buzz of the yellow honey hunters. And I ask no better a winding sheet over the earth and under the sun. Let the bees go honey-hunting with yellow blur of wings in the dome of my head, in the rumbling, singing arch of my skull. Let there be wings and yellow dust and the drone of dreams of honey. Who loses and remembers? Who keeps and forgets? In a blue sheen of moon over the bones and under the hanging honeycomb, the bees come home and the bees sleep.